are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Minnesota Timberwolves fan site for the Fansided Network. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Today, we have several things to talk about. There are, of course, now that we know most of the draft order, the non-lottery draft order, at least, there's a bit more conversation about potential trade backs now that we know exactly where teams are going to draft. And I'm sure that'll pick up after Thursday's draft lottery. But there's a Bleacher Report article proposing trade backs for every team who has a chance of landing the number one pick. So that's an interesting conversation I want to touch on. Also, just a little bit of Timberwolves news off the top, and then get into the James Johnson player snapshot as part of the series that we're doing, basically recapping every player's season, their strengths, weaknesses, future on the Wolves roster, potential trade value, etc. So we'll talk a little bit about James Johnson here in just a few minutes. First, a quick reminder to please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, really wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right. So I guess the news off the top that came out, it was suggested late Monday and reported officially on Tuesday that D'Angelo Russell will represent the Timberwolves virtually, of course, at the NBA draft lottery on Thursday evening. I believe it airs at 7:30 Central. It's kind of right in the middle of that day's slate of playoff games. Of course, it'll be day four of the playoffs. There was four games yesterday, four games on Monday, four games Tuesday. It's been a big week in Orlando, and the virtual draft lottery, of course, is part of it and exciting for the Delete Eight teams as well as the other non-playoff teams. So D'Angelo Russell will represent the Wolves virtually. That is good. It's exciting. He issued a statement talking about how excited he was about the Timberwolves continuing to grow their core. They're building something special in Minnesota, something to that effect. So you'll see him on television on Thursday. The number one overall pick trade conversation. This is a bigger conversation, admittedly. And I think we could probably have a full episode plus on this, and what value could be for trading back. Certainly if the Wolves were to end up getting the number one pick, that will be a major conversation. And really, even if they land two, three or four, I guess really regardless of what pick they get, there's going to be a trade back conversation. We've talked about this before on the show. The Timberwolves don't want to draft. Yes, they have the most draft capital with a top, you know, certainly a top seven pick, the number 17 pick and the number 33 pick. They have more draft capital than anyone else. But especially in a draft that is relatively weak, especially at the top, the Wolves don't want to draft three more rookies and add them to a roster that was already literally the youngest in the league by the end of the season. They've already got guys, Naz Reid in his second year. They like him. Jarrett Culver in his second year. Josh Okogie's only in his third year. It feels like he's been around forever because he's the second longest tenured Timberwolf. Their best players are 24. So they don't need more 19, 20, 21 year olds on this roster unless they have exceedingly high upsides. So yeah, it's still probably more likely than not the Wolves end up keeping their first pick wherever that lands in the top seven. But there's going to be trade back conversations. I think it's more likely they trade the 17 and or the 33. Into future draft capital, ideally, or existing, you know, veteran players in the league. But all that to say, trying to figure out what the Wolves could get in a trade back from number one is still a fascinating conversation. The article was written by Greg Swartz at Bleacher Report. It was published on Tuesday, so just prior to me recording this podcast. And the premise is basically, you know, all these teams say they get the number one pick. What would they need to get in order to give up the number one pick? This trade suggested would be awesome for the Timberwolves. I don't think it happens. For a number of reasons, but I don't know how realistic it is. The suggested trade, we'll start there, is the Wolves would give up the number one overall pick in this year's draft, Jake Lehman and Naz Reid, to the Atlanta Hawks and get back John Collins and Kevin Huerter. That would be, I think the Timberwolves would do that so fast. I think it's more realistic. I could see Atlanta doing it in the sense that if there's a player that they love at number one, and the suggestion here is that the Hawks could take Anthony Edwards and still have their, because remember, they'd still have their pick. So they could take, as suggested in the article, Obi Toppin, Onyeka Okongwu, Denny Avija. And of course, they've got a solid core that includes Trae Young and Clint Capella and Cam Reddish and others. I guess I could buy that. The second issue that I have with this is it actually doesn't quite work from a salary perspective, which is disappointing. but basically the Wolves would need to cut a little bit more money from what they'd be taking in. However, I also think the Wolves would probably try and do this without giving up Lehman. We talked about him the other day, being a bargain on the deal that he's on. Ideally, you know, Naz Reid, same thing. I mean, he's a solid backup center for 900 grand a year, essentially. First of all, it doesn't work as constructed. It would need some massaging. What does work salary-wise is the Wolves could trade just Jarrett Culver and obviously the number one pick to get John Collins and Kevin Huerter. I think that's better for both sides. It gives the Hawks another player with upside, another player that can play on the ball or off the ball that can plug him in, make him more of a playmaker alongside Trae Young. And then the Wolves would still get back John Collins and Kevin Huerter, which the only real downside of this deal for the Wolves is that Collins is going to be eligible for an extension. And, you know, this other assumption made by Swartz in this article is that the Wolves are retaining Malik Beasley. It's going to be tough to keep Towns and Russell on max deals, Beasley on 12, 13 plus million a year, and then also retain John Collins. So I don't really know what that looks like moving forward. This article was just posted today. I haven't really dove into this to see like, how could this work in the future from a cap perspective? Huerter's a year younger, so he's got a couple more years before you have to make that decision. But Collins, I believe after next year's extension, the Wolves would have to make a decision. And he is a player who's, he's not quite a star yet, but he's got star caliber talent and would be a plug and play four next to Towns. He's not outstanding defensively, but he's okay. And there's upside. He's athletic. He can shoot the three. And in some ways, this would be a little bit like adding a polished Obi Toppin to the offense. There's a lot of similarities between Collins and Toppin. Although Collins doesn't have to be a high usage type guy. He can score in transition. He can hit threes. He can rebound. I think the fit is almost perfect. In fact, a few weeks ago, or I guess this was probably back in like April, because it feels like, I don't know, the last 6 months they're weird for everybody. But we did a redraft of the John Collins draft over at FanSided with each of our blogs. And again, I'm the co-editor of the Timberwolves blog at FanSided. And so we got to repick in the draft. I'm not going to remember the exact pick we had or anything, but this was the 2017 draft. And I took John Collins for the Wolves. And it was certainly in the top 10. And the reason I gave was he's just a perfect offensive fit next to Towns. It's not like the Wolves have a good defense as it is. So it's basically the same reasoning that I've given for drafting Obi Toppin is lean into the outstanding offense, figure out some of the defensive stuff, plug in some wings that can help your defense be more middle of the road, hopefully, and hope that Towns develops a little bit defensively. Russell tries harder. You get John Collins to do a little bit, you know, to do the Towns thing and try a little harder, get a little better defensively. There's a lot of ifs there, but your offense would be a top five or six offense almost immediately if you plug in John Collins along with D'Angelo Russell, Karl-Anthony Towns, Malik Beasley. So again, from a long-term perspective, it's iffy for me from, how are you going to make it work under the cap? I don't think the Hawks do it. I don't think they do it for Jarrett Culver in the number one, unless they love Anthony Edwards, which maybe they do. Of course, he went to college at Georgia, so there's a fun story there. I don't know. To be extremely clear, there's no steam behind this. There's no rumor. This is an article by Greg Swartz at Bleacher Report. And we're just kind of, playing this out a little bit. I'd like to talk more about the possibility of trading back in a later episode, because it's a real possibility for anybody at number one, and certainly for the Timberwolves, given that they've already got their big two on the roster. And unless there's a guy that they think could be the third wheel of their big three, and they think that player is already going to be better than Malik Beasley in short order, the Wolves are going to try to trade back. I truly believe that. So fascinating conversation. And to be clear, if the Wolves could pull this trade off, even if you're giving up Jarrett Culver, if you had to give up Josh Okogie, I like that less. But if you're going to get back John Collins and Kevin Huerter and you think there's a way you can retain one or both of them beyond the next year, then you got to pull that trigger. I just don't think it's a realistic trigger to be pulled at this point. All right. That's all I want to talk about there. But again, I want to come back to it later. Let's get into the James Johnson conversation and what his value is, looking at a snapshot of him overall as a player, his value to the Wolves moving forward. Let's also talk about our great friends at DoorDash. You want Chinese, they want pizza, and someone is craving Froyo. There's something for everyone on DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants, including Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities that they operate in safe. Right now, our listeners at Locked On Wolves can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. All right, let's have the James Johnson snapshot conversation. So James Johnson, of course, was acquired by the Timberwolves, really in a straight up swap for Gorgui Dieng, just prior to the trade deadline. It was kind of the part B to the big move with Golden State and all the other player movement. And prior to that, the trade when Robert Covington went to Houston, the Wolves got back Beasley and Hernan Gomez. James Johnson, that trade was almost an afterthought in the wake of the Covington trade and the Russell Wiggins trade, and understandably so. But the Wolves were basically giving up a year. They were gaining a year of cap flexibility by bringing in James Johnson and getting rid of Gorgui Dieng. They were also gaining some roster flexibility. Gorgui Dieng is almost exclusively a center in today's NBA. He played some four, yes. Actually, was pretty good as a starting four next to Towns and Tom Thibodeau's first year at the helm in Minnesota. But in today's NBA, 2020, 2021, Gorgui Dieng is more of a backup five. He's good enough to play more than just backup minutes, but his role's a little bit tricky. Johnson's a better fit for the Wolves roster and what they're trying to do. He's also cheaper, and his contract is over a year earlier. James Johnson's still getting vastly overpaid. He was paid $15.3 million this year. He's got a player option for $16.3 million for this upcoming 2021 season. He's almost certainly going to accept that. I don't know when the deadline is, but it's typically sometime shortly after the finals. And of course, everything shifted around this year. But assuming he opts in, he'll be on the books for just over $16 million. That is the third highest salary on the roster next to next to Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell. Of course, Evan Turner is also getting paid $18.6 million this year, but he's a free agent as soon as the offseason begins. And so, yes, he's overpaid. Yes, there's a number of things he can't do. And yes, he fell out of good graces in Miami. And it's not that hard to do it with Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley, but it's usually not a good sign if you've fallen out of good graces in Miami. Then again, prior to recently, Miami extended him. They gave him a big contract extension. They're the ones that paid him this money. He's had a good track record as a solid teammate. He's the type of guy you want on your team. Has always been what I've heard about James Johnson, and Gerson Rosas and Ryan Saunders all said those things about him after they acquired him. And he seemed to be a model teammate in the 14 or so games he played for the Wolves after coming over. He, interestingly enough, position-wise, he's best cast as a four in today's NBA. He played more center with the Timberwolves than he ever has in his career. He even started at center a couple of times after the Towns injury. He played a little bit of three. What the Wolves clearly like about him is that he's a four that can switch onto fives with ease in today's game. He's not needing to guard back to the basket centers down on the block. It's not, 2004 with Shaq in LA. And he can also switch onto threes and do a pretty good job. He's a solid pick and roll defender. And he's got the ability to shoot three pointers. He has range. For his career, he's only a 31% 3-point shooter. The 18-19 season, he shot 33.6% from three, so just a hair really right at league average. This past year for the season, over 36% from three. In 2017-18, it was only 31%, but the year before that, 34%. So you take his last four seasons in the league, and he shot 33.3% from three. That'll play as a switchable four that plays solid defense and is an okay rebounder as a kind of a third big, backup wing. He's not a starting caliber guy. He never really has been. Even with Miami, he was more of a bench player at his best. And remember, now he's 33 years old. So he's not a starter, and he'd be miscast if the Wolves tried to make him one. But he's a really nice piece to have. And there's some similarities to what he brings to the table and what the Wolves like about Jake Lehman it, mostly that they're switchable and they're solid defenders. Johnson isn't quite as athletic as Jake Lehman at this point in their respective careers, but that part's similar. They're both kind of league average 3-point shooters. Johnson's a little bit of a better rebounder. He's a little bigger. But both of those guys are switchable fours who can play the three, and in Johnson's case, play some five. And it's clear that that's the type of player that Gerson Rosas and Ryan Saunders and the Wolves brass are looking for. And Johnson did those things when he came over to Minnesota. In 14 games with the Wolves, he averaged 12 points a game, which over the course of a season, that would be the second best mark of his entire career. 4.7 rebounds a game, 3.8 assists per game, which would tie for the most per game assists for his career. He was initiating some offense. He did that a little bit with Miami this year and last year. But in Minnesota, he actually played some point guard effectively on a couple of different occasions. And so that's something he can do. The Wolves like that about him. He shot 37% from three in a Wolves uniform. He averaged more threes per game over that stretch of games, over 14 games, than he has in 5 years in the league, and the second most in his career. Again, if that had been over the course of an entire season. So there's tons to like about what he did in a Wolves uniform. Again, a solid defender, and I want to get into what he brings offensively, dive into the numbers a little bit more here in a moment. But clearly the ideal scenario for him is he's kind of your third big, you know, maybe he's like essentially your third string three and five, but he's your backup four, and he can fill in at the three and the five if needed. And the flexibility there is really, really important when it comes to the Timberwolves wanting to have him on the roster. So let's not lose sight of that being perhaps what he's most valuable. Is he solid all the way around? He can distribute the ball. He can rebound. He can play defense. He can shoot some threes. And, you know, he's not going to put his back to the basket very often, but neither are the Timberwolves. So he does all the things the Wolves need him to do. Yes, he's overpaid, but on an expiring deal, I mean, we'll get in a second here. I want to get to what I think his role is for the Wolves next year and his outlook is, but, there's no reason the Wolves should move on from him before the season starts. I think he's a great fit with this roster. And what I want to do next is I want to dive into the numbers, talk about how valuable he is offensively, get into the B-ball index numbers, as well as look at what the fit is for next season with the Timberwolves. Before we do that, let's talk Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com, both at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, we've already talked about the kind of standard per game numbers, shooting percentages, et cetera, for James Johnson. What I'd like to do now is dive a little bit deeper into how he fits the Wolves offense, why he's such a good fit, and look at the B-ball index numbers and then talk about his outlook for the season. If this is the first player snapshot that you've heard here at Locked On Wolves, basically something that we've been doing is going through the B-ball index numbers. If you haven't heard of B-ball index, it's a new site that has innovative data tools and more than 500 player profiles that are available for just $5 a month or $50 a year. That's bball-index or bball-index.com. And the data is fantastic. So first I want to look at his profile and what B-ball index says about what Johnson brings to the table. They label his role in the offense as a stationary shooter. And we'll get into some of the numbers from a pick and roll perspective, pick and pop perspective here in a second. But his perimeter shot grades out at 79th percentile or a B plus relative to his position. The only players on the Wolves with better perimeter shot marks are D'Angelo Russell, Karl-Anthony Towns, and Malik Beasley. James Johnson would be third on the team. So ahead of Jordan McLaughlin, obviously ahead of Culver Okogie, ahead of even Omari Spellman, Juancho Hernan Gomez, but 79th percentile for his perimeter shot in terms of what he's able to produce on perimeter shooting. In terms of off-ball movement, James Johnson had the worst mark on the Timberwolves. He was just 12th percentile, an F on off-ball movement. That's one of the big differences between him and Jake Lehman, who we talked about the other day. We don't have B-ball index numbers on Lehman because he only played in like 23, 24 games this year. But Lehman's more of a cutter. He'll move without the ball. And that part of his role within the offense is different than James Johnson. Johnson's more of a pick and roll guy, pick and pop guy. He'll stand on the perimeter, hit down an open shot. He can crash the glass. We'll talk about that here in a second too, but he's not a cutter. In terms of one-on-one game, he has an A-minus 86th percentile scoring points per possession in one-on-one, A-minus finishing at the rim, A-minus for roll gravity, 85th percentile, meaning when he sets a screen and he rolls to the rim, what's the impact of him as the roll man? Is he sucking defenders into the paint and allowing for open perimeter jump shooters? Is he scoring when he rolls to the rim? What kind of effect does that have on the game? As a playmaker, he's 73rd percentile, which is a B. The only players with higher marks on the Wolves, obviously D'Angelo Russell, Jordan McLaughlin, and Carl Anthony Towns. Again, fourth on the Wolves in a significant offensive category, and that's playmaking. Post play, he's only a C plus, but he doesn't play much in the post. Perimeter defense, he ranks 63rd percentile. That's a B minus. That seems about right. I mean, he's 33. He's going to turn 34 during the next season. He's not an outstanding defender anymore, but he's a really good team defender, and that matters. Interior defense, 67th percentile and a B grade. Offensive rebounding, a B minus grade. Defensive, a B. And overall rebounding, a B grade, 72nd percentile. And so all of this, again, it confirms what we kind of already thought that we knew about James Johnson, that he's a solid playmaker, a solid perimeter scorer, a solid rebounder, a solid defender. What he's really good at, and this number suggests it with his roll gravity as well as his perimeter shot and one-on-one score. One of the other things B-Ball Index does is they give badges based on really outstanding skills that individual players have. So we've talked about this with some of the other players. There's bronze, silver, and gold badges, and there's a number of different categories. Streaky, microwave for guys who can score quickly, teardropper for guys who excel with floaters, corner specialists for obviously specialists in corner jump shooters, catch and shoot, et cetera, et cetera. The only badge that James Johnson has is a gold badge, and it is for a pick and popper. And let me read you the definition. It's pretty obvious what it is, but here's the actual definition for what a pick and popper badge is. This badge identifies players taking a high rate and shooting a high percentage on pick and pops. Basically, they take the pick and pop points over expectation per game, and then they take the scoring possession volume in the pick and pop in order to eliminate small sample sizes. And James Johnson gets a gold because of his solid perimeter shooting and his ability to set screens. And that's something that we know about James Johnson, and these numbers just confirm it. Again, as a reminder, this data comes from B-Ball Index. Their innovative data tools and 500 plus player profiles are available to you for just $5 a month or $50 a year at bball-index.com. So in summary, James Johnson, all around, he's a solid player. That's the best way to describe him. He does basically everything well, except for, I guess, he's not a great cutter, and he's a league average three-point shooter. He doesn't really do anything spectacularly, but he's a good teammate. He's versatile. He's switchable on defense. He's okay on offense, and he does everything that you need a modern, versatile forward to do, and that matters. I think he's on the team next season. I think if the Wolves are good, if they're challenging for a playoff spot, I think he's on the team all season long. If the Wolves are kind of a borderline playoff team, if things aren't going as planned, I think he's moved at the deadline to a contender on an expiring deal. Remember, over $16 million next year expires next summer, or whenever next offseason is, I guess. So I think he's moved if the team struggles. If he doesn't, I think he's an important cog in this machine. They need some insurance in case Jake Lehman's injury issues crop up again, in case Towns' injury issues crop up again, in case Naz Reid isn't quite ready to be part of a rotation on what hopefully is a playoff team next year. But I think James Johnson gets an opportunity to contribute as kind of that third big, backup 3-4 type guy who can play some five. And I think the move, trading Gorgui Dieng for him, was a really smart move by the Timberwolves, and a really smart move by Gerson Rosa. So kudos to them for that trade. Be really interesting to see what exactly his role is on the team next year. He does have some trade value because he's still a solid player and he's got an expiring deal, but at $16 million, he's got to be worth something to the team that's acquiring him, and the Wolves would have to be motivated to do it as well. So I don't think he's moved this offseason. I think the Wolves have other pieces that they would trade or that will be easier to trade, unless the Wolves have some sort of deal where they can, you know, land a third star. Again, unlikely, but like a Devin Booker or Bradley Beal or somebody that's making more money. Johnson is the one tradable large contract that the Wolves are going to have once he opts into his player option. So, but I think the most likely scenario is he's on the roster until next season begins. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Remember, Thursday night is the draft lottery, so we're going to do a couple more player snapshots this week. We'll have the lottery Thursday and have a big show on Friday talking about the results of the lottery and some latest mock drafts and things like that. So be sure to tune in for that. And thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.